This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Colorado Inn and KFKA present Rams Weekly. Brought to you by Marinda Simpson State Farm Insurance. Here's Brady Hull and Kevin Lytle.
Rams Weekly rolling on here on this Thursday afternoon. I've got Kevin Lytle of the Colorado Inn in studio. The biggest, the best Colorado State Rams insider this side of the Mississippi. I am Brady Hull, and we've got Michael Kirkpatrick back there producing the show. And since he's got his orange Bronco stuff on, you've got green on today. Kind of a theme with Ag Day coming up on Saturday, Kevin.
We did accidentally make an Ag Day situation here.
Now, I know you're asking the question, but you know where I am. I love the pumpkin orange and the alfalfa green. I would vote for that to be the new colors for Colorado State.
Okay, yeah. So I do have the poll, like favorite Colorado State football uniform right now. I would say the Ag is my favorite, but I disagree with the make it the full time. I think it would lose its luster.
Over
and
time.
Also, like, not that anyone would talk about this, it would look worse if you don't have the stadium full if people are supposed to be in orange.
Yeah, that's true.
So I love it. I think it's a great look. I think keep it special and unique.
And it does look a lot like Miami, too, like the colors they do.
It is funny because it is a very rare and unique.
Right.
As far as I can, you know, off the top of my head, of at least D1 programs, they're the only two that use it.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, that is a pretty prominent one. But I think it looks great. I think it's an amazing look. It, you know, selfishly from a content standpoint, it looks really good. Like the photos pop, videos pop. It stands out. Whereas the traditionals, I have no beef with them, but they kind of blend into a crowd, if you will. These stand out, and you know, like Uniswag and these places always do, like top 10 uniform of the week, blah blah blah. The Ag Days are always like top 3 to 4 on a week, and depending on who's wearing what, sometimes they win it. They just really stand out.
Do you know what? Do you know the history of that particular Ram logo?
So I think the current Angry Ram is a little bit of an iteration of an older one. I would need to fully dive into that to give you a better answer, but I believe it's sort of a new version of an old one. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, actually. I like that. I don't know. I like that kind of cartoony looking.
If you're wondering, Mama Lytle's review, she doesn't like Angry Ram. She likes Normal Ram.
Doesn't like him, really?
Yeah. It's just I like the other one. It's like, okay.
And maybe it would get old over time, but for a change, it's definitely
I like
cool.
The special. You know, and they get to hype it up. Like, people have fun with it. The basketball program always gets to drop the video of, you know, Zay saying, when the orange comes out, we don't lose. I told you. So they've been using that this week. And, I think it's fun. I think it looks cool. But like I say, I know there's a group of people, sounds like you included, that want to fully switch back to that, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm against that.
Well,
personally.
It's not the green necessarily. It's gold. I was talking about this earlier. It's gold because we got the green and gold. We got the blue and gold down the road here in Greeley. We got the black and gold. Everybody does gold.
I wonder is there a history to that? Does it go back to like Gold Rush idea?
Is that real?
Is it just a coincidence that the prominent Colorado programs use gold? I don't know.
I would say so.
Bi-week research maybe.
I think that might be
Gotta have something to do next week.
I would dive into that. I would absolutely like to know, because I always wonder, like, why do you settle on gold? Why do so
good
many
question.
Teams, especially around
I
here,
do always feel that gold pants are rarely done right.
Yeah,
I think it's just
not
a hard
gold pants.
It's just a hard color. Like, a lot of times they come out khaki.
Yeah.
So I do think that's tricky.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those either. Yeah. But moving on, Kevin, Colorado State ends up losing.
We're not just talking about uniforms and logos hour. Dang it.
What are the other ones? They got State Pride.
State Pride. So right now they've trimmed it down. So CSU basically has three uniforms. They have the Ag Day, the State Pride, which I also love. I know there's a little bit of mixed feeling, but they're really popular. And then just the traditional, which is gold pants, traditional helmet, green jersey for home, white jersey for road.
You know, it's also controversial. I don't really like the State Pride
Yeah, jerseys. there's some folks, you know, because it doesn't have any school color. I love them personally. I'll also admit I'm a pretty big sucker for just Colorado flag theme.
Yeah.
Everything. Like, got myself a freaking Rockies hat, even though I kind of hate that franchise right now. And, you know, it just works on me.
I don't know. And I'm not
they
a big...
They do sell well. You see those blue shirts and stuff all over the place.
Yeah, I'm not a big, like, uniform guy. I remember when Oregon started coming out with a big...
I'm such a geek
you're
on
into
it.
Into that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think nowadays they all just look good to me because they're tight
now. That is
now,
true. It is improved a lot.
Because over the years, like, when the sleeves are hanging off.
Like, and... when I was in school, there was some pretty ugly stuff, including at CSU. Now, most, like, you even see, you know, I saw an Abilene Christian, I think it was, today uniform drop. I was like, dang. They're getting after it.
Almost everybody has, like, nicer stuff now, and it just fits better.
See, I'm going to make us talk about this for an hour. We're not talking about anything
else. Well, speaking of weird uniforms, I always kind of liked, even though they're Cowboys colors, I liked the Broncos old school,
That is weird. Those
because it's ugly.
It's ugly,
but it's unique. And that's what I think, like, you know what I really hate the most, my least favorite? The Rockies have both of them. their little license plate thing.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
And then this new one that they had, they basically look like the Phoenix Suns threw up all over them. What is that one? Is that a state pride one?
It's sort of like, I think they say it's supposed to be like Colorado Sunset
colors.
That's
right, yeah.
So that's the hat I got. I love the hat. As a jersey, like, yeah, it's pretty loud, but I kind of love the hat.
Yeah, the jersey, it just reminds me of the Phoenix Suns, and I despise the Phoenix Suns, so that really bothers me.
Yeah, fair enough.
San Diego Padres have a really bad
one. They're really
where they're
loud
like
one.
All pastel. Oh,
I like that one, yeah. It's nice.
The Padres?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really loud one.
Yeah, well, there's some unique ones for sure. But are there any plans to ever, you know, John Weber just seems like he's rolling out new ideas all the time. Are there any new plans to add different uniforms?
So what I've heard is more the opposite of trending more toward buttoned up traditional, but that can change. Some of it has to do with the coach. Like, Norvell would just wear the same one every week if he had full say.
He wouldn't even do the ag day. He would just...
But, you know, you get overruled on marketing, basically, for those couple. But that can change, too. I mean, who knows? Like, the thought has crossed my mind of, like, okay, CSU moved to the Pac-12. Do you drop a little splash of some new in? That's me speculating,
just
me reporting.
That would be the time to do it, though,
yeah.
Right?
So I don't know. I'll ask at some point.
If you guys want to text us, you can text the text line 888-530-0043. And for our texter last week, just got to mention it because the over-under is 2. Jay Norvell, hot seat. I just got to say it because the listener last week hated that.
What was it, your dog collar or whatever?
Yeah, give me a shock every time I mention it.
Yeah.
It's the truth, but... I actually think he cooled it off a little bit. I think last week, even though they lost, I think he cooled it off a little bit.
Yeah, like you say, they did some decent stuff. We said last week it could not look like Texas, and it didn't.
Nope.
CSU had to land some punches. CSU had to show some life. CSU had to do some things that make you believe that they can beat teams of their ilk, meaning, you know, fellow Mountain West and G5-6 teams. And I think they did that. Everything I saw in that game, yeah, it wasn't all perfect. There were certainly some issues, things to address, whatever. But there was nothing in that game that made me think, well, they can't beat Mountain West teams.
Mm-mm. There was, I mean, again, I even put out around halftime, I'm like, hey, my bad, saying that the Rams weren't going to cover because this team looks to be a little bit different. And again, week one, I really try not to get too high or low, depending on how you're looking
at it. Week one is prime for overreaction, so that's what a lot of my writing has been over the last week or so of whatever your take is, really high, really low, chill a bit because week one lies. Week one is a liar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. That's why, I mean, I'm not ready to write off Boise State just yet.
No, I mean, I'm certainly questioning some things, but no, I'm not about to say, oh, nope, gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with our area here, you know, the CU loss to Georgia Tech, I think Georgia Tech's going to be a really good football team, actually, maybe dangerously good this year. And for CSU, again, showing that you belong on the field, this is what I've been talking about is in this new Pac-12, not necessarily wins and losses, but just show that you belong out there are big steps. And I think CSU was one of the lone wolves in that showed that they belonged against a well-respected Power 4 school.
Yeah, I wrote this and I've said it, I believe, especially just given how the calendar worked, that was technically an August game. we're going to learn a lot about CSU in September. Not necessarily this weekend. I mean more the next two games after this. But check back at the end of September and let's see what the pulse of CSU is.
Kevin, I want to spend some time talking about Braden Fowler Nicolosi. I made this comparison today. I was talking to a mutual friend of ours with Justin Michael of DNVR Rams, and I threw out, again, NFL comp of just how I view watching him. And I was a big Jake Plummer fan. Mm. Loved Jake Plummer. But he wasn't always the most crisp quarterback in the history of the world. He was a gunslinger. He would make really bad decisions. He would switch the ball over to his left hand to try to get out of trouble, throw a pick six. He would do crazy things like that. But man, what a ride. Win or lose, what a ride. So I'm not really comparing like right. their body types or throwing technique, but that's how I feel watching Braden Fowler Nicolosi. And I can't say that I hate it. I get frustrated and sad sometimes, but it gets the heartbeat, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, you know, if you just look at my mentions and whatnot, that was probably the talking point
that
from the game. There are a few other, Dupree, the fake field goal, some, you know, some of the other things. But I think, yeah, because everyone can see the talent, the arm talent BFN has, and therefore the potential. Like, you can watch him and think like, wow, like what if it all comes together? But then you see some of the same mistakes, you know, a lot of back foot throws, and a lot of people talk about that. You hear it on the TV broadcast, see it on social media, conversations I have with people offline of a lot of different, you know, whatever statuses. The interception was both at a bad time and again one of those back foot sling into heavy coverage. You know, I think at this point, this is kind of what BFN is. He's going to make some big old great plays, probably have some great, great games. But there will be some plays here and there that, yeah, kind of give you the head slap. You know, he started a lot of games. There were a lot of times last week where he was, yeah, kind of stepping into the bucket behind him under either real pressure or perceived pressure that maybe wasn't there. Even if you go watch the touchdown pass to Jackson Warren, there's no pressure. And it's a back foot throw. You know, it's almost like a fadeaway. And it's a good thing Jackson Warren was 6'8", because yeah. they almost sailed him.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing he's wide open, too, because if there were a safety coming across the top, could killed him.
I was so shocked that Jackson Warren was that wide open.
He was crazy wide open. They blew something, because if you look, it was basically a two-on-one. You had Jordan Ross on the outside, Jackson Warren on the inside, and the DB kind of covered neither of them.
Yeah. And just kind of let him go right through.
So I'm assuming that I should have gone and looked at some Washington post-game coverage if they talked about that. But I'm assuming that was blown coverage. But yeah, BFN does a lot of good. I do think, you know, I keep getting people say, oh, regression. It's not regression. He does things. There are a lot of things he does do better that he's improved. I know people probably get sick of hearing checks at the line. He's doing a lot more of that, and that is a part of the game. It's an important part of the game. He's improved it. He made the check to the Dupree run for the touchdown. He made that the line at the end of the first half, which was a risky one because CSU was out of timeouts, but worked. So he is doing a lot of that stuff better. But given how much experience he has, I think people just really wish or wanted to see some of those mechanical things get ironed out. Haven't seen it yet. Like I say, I mean, what are the odds that, you know, week to week he's just all of a sudden going to step into every throw? And yeah, you can't step into every throw. That's not right. practical. But clean up some of these things. But yeah, he's, you know, hot and cold at times.
Last year, obviously, they ran the ball so well. They won a lot of games off of that rushing attack. So that might be where they look, too, with Jalen Dupree looking like an absolute stud. How much of BFN being, like, if you have bad, average, good, how much of him being floating around the average to slightly beneath that, if he's that guy, if he's 17 of 32, 180, one touchdown, one interception almost regularly, how much of their season hangs on his performance needing to be better?
Yeah, it's a good question. Because, yeah, the line is, I wrote this, the line is fine. It's okay. It's not great. It's not superb. It's also not terrible. So it's really, that's why it's really hard to evaluate sometimes of like, where exactly do you put it? But yeah, they're going to have games where they need him to be big. But if he mostly protects the ball, it doesn't have to be every game. So that's where it's tough. I mean, one interception is not bad. That's not an alarming number. But again, it was the timing and how it happened that I think was alarming.
When we come back, Kevin, let's talk about Taj Bullock a little bit.
Yeah.
The wrinkle there that he kind of provided. Obviously, the fake field goal that turned out to be just running a play, but not with your full offense. We'll get into that, too. And what you kind of expect the rest of the season to look like for him. Jalen Dupree, we'll talk about that. 15 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown. He looked every bit the part that we've been talking about over the last 2 years, wondering when we were going to see him really go full-time. And then maybe a couple of injury, like Justin Marshall updates on him.
Yeah.
I was really wanting to see him, but it sounds like he was banged up all week. So we'll get to that, too. Rams Weekly continues here. Also, Kevin's picks as we run through the Mountain West slate of games this weekend. We're already here on to week two. It flies by. We'll be right back. All right, the Rams lost 38-21 over against Washington last week, and really, I like 90% of the game, honestly, Kevin. I mean, I think even if that score's there and you have the issues that I have, whatever, were gone, I would be really happy with what I saw from CSU. I didn't think CSU was going to cover, so to lose 38-21, the needle moved a little bit, but you still just have these weird things. We talked about BFN's interception. And Dupree's carries, 15 carries total, I think only four in the second half.
Yeah.
But Taj Bullock, and I get it, we can spend a lot of time talking about the fake field goal that turned into just be a regular play and then they didn't get it. But talk to me about Bullock and what you expect to see from him throughout the race. I mean, are we going to see a lot more of him? Are we going to see less? How's that going to go?
Yeah, Taj was a really fun element. He's kind of what we thought. You know, I wrote during camp that he was going to be kind of Taysom Hill of, you'd see him at running back, you'd see him direct snap at quarterback, you'd see him catch some passes, and basically saw all that and more even in this one. Some of it, I think, was, you know, throw a big wrinkle at Washington early because they used him a lot early on. Now, I had a lot of people say, well, there should be more of him. I'm like, well, there's a balance there because if you're doing it every drive, it becomes pretty predictable and easier to stop. I likened it to, you know, a three-point shooter. If you want your great three-point shooter to sit in the corner and hit open threes, but you don't want to run the offense through them and have them shoot 25 times a game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I don't know that your exact number, and obviously it's going to change week to week, but, you know, 8-10 touches a game for Bullock I think is pretty good. Certainly a lot of those short yardage situations, you know, third and one or you know, whatever, and, you know, your and goal at the two or three, just direct snapped him and he can run because he's both athletic and quick, but also big and strong. Like, he's not going to get tackled backwards a lot.
Yeah.
So he had the one touchdown run. I think Taj Bullock's going to score, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 touchdowns this year in different forms. Maybe, you know, if it's getting up to 10, CSU's probably in really good shape. So I love the wrinkle. I think, they tried the one trick pass to, not the field goal, but there's the trick pass that he should have had, honestly. He had,
So he had
Jackson Warren going down the middle first. He was open, should have thrown it to him. And then BFN was basically running kind of a wheel route. And he was actually open, kind of missed him because he was getting hit by that point. But you're going to have some options like that. They're going to be different trick plays and whatever. So you're going to see Taj in a lot of different ways. I think it's a really fun wrinkle to this mm-hmm. offense. I think could be very dangerous because now that that's on film, you can also use it as a decoy,
right,
too. If throw him out there, defense starts worrying about it, and you know, whatever. Say you split him out as a receiver, you fake a throw to him, and they're going, oh, back pass, and then you turn and go the other way.
Did Jay have anything like this in Nevada? Is this a new thing for Jay Norvell to have kind of the Swiss Army knife type dude?
That's a good question. I can't think off the top of my head of a guy that's been so multifaceted. Certainly not CSU. Obviously, I wasn't watching every Nevada game. I don't really remember one like that, but I think it's going to be a really fun usage and just another weapon.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. When you said, okay, this is Taysom Hill type stuff, that stuff gets me going.
Yeah, no, I think it's really fun and clever, and again, just a different way to win.
The Rams now set their sights to Ag Day coming up on Saturday, 5 o'clock, as they get set to host the UNC Bears. Last year, they faced the Bears, and it was kind of closer at first than a lot.
Kind of a clunky game, I would say.
Clunky.
Now, that one was right before CU week, which probably factored in.
Yeah, and you know, you have a CSU team, obviously, with that. You can't help. I know you say it was one game at a time, but... How dramatic that
game
was.
We all know how much was in CU, and Torrey Horton had the punt return for a touchdown.
Yep.
Not even first series, because it's before CSU's first series.
Yep.
And so, human element, if you're CSU, you're going to let the shoulders drop a bit of like, all right, yeah, we've got this one. Yeah, let's get this done and move on. So it was clunky, but CSU was still in control.
Yeah. Smitty texting, and just going back to our Bullock thing, Bullock's motion is what allowed Warren to be wide open on that touchdown. He's looking. Bullock threw players to him.
That's what I mean by there are a lot of different things, whether it's actually to Bullock or him helping divert things away. So we'll see how they use it. I think he'll evolve during the season. I think there will be games where he gets 18 touches, and there will be games where he gets two.
Yeah.
Just depending on situation and how defenses are reacting.
All right. So this this game, obviously, I don't see a spread. Our guy, the dude down the hall over there, is the analytics, the gambler over there, and he's thinking it's probably going to be, if one comes out, probably 38.5.
Oh, wow.
That's what he's at. Okay. I was thinking 30.
If you had asked me, I was going to say like 28.
Really?
If you had, to make one.
I think, and if the wise guys pay attention, I think the fact that the Bears lose their quarterback again.
I don't imagine there will be a line, by the way. There wasn't last year.
Yeah. Maybe
somewhere on the dark web.
Maybe somewhere in those secret places. But obviously, that's the kind of the story around UNC. Last year, it was a revolving door at quarterback for them. Peter Castelli. I think he's a pretty good Big Sky Conference quarterback, and the guy's had a history of injuries, and it just
really
isn't working.
That week one, he gets another.
So Ed told us yesterday, Kevin, that he's not out for the. He might not be out for the season, but it might be one of those things where he broke his collarbone. So technically, could that heal by the time we're 75-80% of the season done? Maybe, but then you kind of assess: do we want to waste? Because he's a redshirt junior, so he could have two more years left. So. You look at that, and obviously that just bodes well for Colorado State even more. It's going to be a crazy crowd. The Rams are chomping at the bit after losing to Washington. They very much would like to get everything cooking against this Bears team. But how much do you show against a Bears? Those are always things to ask, too. Like, you don't always see these major blowouts against teams you're supposed to blow out because you don't always want to show every single thing you have on paper.
Yeah, I don't think you pull every trick play out of the bag, stuff like that. But you should just be able to outman in a lot of ways. I mean, a few things I will watch for. I think CSU will make a concerted effort to get the receivers going because they had such a poor night at Washington. I mean, that's a confidence position in a lot of ways, too. So I think they want to get them going. So I would not be surprised to see a shot play early on. Defensively, I think, obviously, especially given the quarterback situation for UNC, you would really like to see the defense put a bit of a licking on them, force some turnovers, get a lot of pressure, make it really, really hard on UNC. I think those are a couple things. Then, obviously, a run game, both how offense used and who is used. I mean, Norvell said after Washington, he goes, honestly, there are probably three other backs that I wanted to get involved, but we just didn't have enough plays. And obviously, Dupree was going pretty well early, so they didn't rotate through that much. So that's going to be interesting, too. Does Justin Marshall get in the mix? Keegan Hollis, I imagine, is one of those others. Remember the name Javian Kennard, too. Youngster freshman. I keep hearing his name. I don't know if it's going to be this week, next week, late this season, next season. But people are really excited about him in-house.
Where's he out of, Kevin?
Good question.
Yeah,
I want to say Tennessee?
Okay.
Question mark? Someone will fact check me on that. But he's, super young, but another exciting one. And obviously the Marshall question is big. I did not expect him to not get any carries. So I'll be intrigued, especially if CSU does blow UNC out. what Marshall's usage is.
Yeah, and that's when Justin Marshall seems kind of banged up, I guess, for a little bit.
He's banged up in camp, but he's healthy. Norvell basically said, yeah, he missed some time in camp and kind of got passed by Dupree and Avant. And in a lot of ways, you could see why they are well-regarded. And obviously, Dupree ran well. Avant, not as many touches. He had the big kick return, though. He does some good things. So it's just a battle to get on the field, which... it's a good thing to have.
You were 100% right on Mr. Kennard.
Did I nail that?
Yeah, you nailed that, man. Yeah, without anything in front of you.
Kind of incredible these days with how many signees and transfers. It's much harder than it used to be remember.
I can pull the roster up and look right at where they're from and then close it because there's 4 million names in my brain now, and I can't do it. So hats off to you on that one.
All right.
All right, so this game, this approach and everything. Now, it's a big day. It's Ag Day. Yeah. We're going to be honoring
First Ring of Honor class. So Sonny Lubick, Bubba Baker, Joey Porter, Bradley Van Pelt, those are obviously titans of CSU football history. They'll be there.
They're going to all be there. Wow.
I also believe, so they have like a new train horn. I believe they're going to have like a ceremonial horn sounder. I don't know what the name of that would be.
Sounds about right.
For a game, kind of like, you know, the Vikings have, you know, the foghorn, whatever. A lot of programs, Washington actually had, they had Jake Browning do sound the siren or whatever it is. So I'm assuming it's probably one of those Ring of Honor guys doing that. My hunch would be that would be Bradley Van Pelt, but that's just a hunch, not a fact. So yeah, it'll be cool to see those guys. Like I say, obviously titans of CSU football history.
I like that John Weber is trying to create...
He actually cares about the history of CSU.
The history, yeah. But trying to create a thing for CSU.
Yeah.
Like everybody, all these great legendary schools and programs, they have a thing that just separates them. And I like that you keep trying and you see what sticks. And if it finally sticks, you got it.
Yep.
You know?
And they're doing some more tweaks to game day. Like say, got the new train horn. There's a thunder drum, I believe they're calling it for pregame intro. They'll be playing, the coordinated music, have the drum sound as the team walks out. So that in theory could be pretty cool. Get everyone going. Just some little tweaks. Not everything works, but trying different stuff. Like you said, should be a big crowd. I think pretty much right at sellout range, 36-ish K. So, yeah, should be a fun day. Should be great weather, too.
How about Canvas Chaos? Is that going to be?
I think that's still a thing. It works great when, you have a good crowd and a good game. Obviously, it fell flat in the Adazio era when the third quarter comes, the stadium's empty because you're down 900 points.
And there's five people dancing.
It does not work great there. But, for those big games and, a close game heading to the fourth, I think it's awesome.
Do you think that they should put a rule in, though, that if it's more than, I don't know.
If Nevada's up 42-0 on you in,
don't do that.
In 2021.
You just stay away from it.
Pull the plug, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, what's the limit? 20-point game?
Yeah, I don't know.
But you could come back from a 20-point game.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, they have.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, but
if it's over 20.
There is a bit of a vibe of, if the stadium's empty and team's getting killed, I would like that plug pulled. But I get there are a lot of mechanisms in place. And, what do you do if you pull that? Because you also don't want to just have nothing happening.
And then they come back and win, and it's like, what the hell? You didn't do it.
So, I get it.
It's a tough road.
Game day operations are difficult. There are a lot of things going on.
We'll get to Mountain West predictions and all that going forward with you too, Kevin. So we'll get to that on the other side. And then also your final assessment of how you think this game, because you were pretty darn close on your score prediction last week.
Yeah, 1-0. So I'm keeping track of both. Do I just get the winner right, that record, and then against the spread? So I'm 1-0 on both right now.
You've got to be feeling good.
That's undefeated.
That's undefeated. You can't win them all.
You play to win the games. I do plan to win them all. I'm going to win the CFP of made-up bets.
Texter here from John in Fort Collins. Kevin, do you think there is extra motivation from Air Force Hawaii, New Mexico, and UNLV to beat CSU's brains in since they are not on the Rams schedule in the foreseeable future? John out of Fort Collins.
Somewhat, I would say. There's certainly a underlying element of kind of Mountain West versus the Pack this year. And every time teams that are leaving for the Pack play teams that are playing or staying in the Mountain West, there's going to be that underline somewhere or another. Hawaii, CSU, no. I don't think there's any special bad blood there. I mean, there's not even bad blood at all. And Timmy Chang and Jay Norvell are good friends. So that one, no. UNLV has some interesting drama because of their talk with everything. Wyoming game? Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. That has more spice to it. Air Force, maybe a little bit. I think there's a bit of that vibe from Air Force. I think Troy Calhoun will certainly use that, even if he doesn't actually care that much. I think he'll use that, like, these guys think they're too good to play us in the future.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I think especially Wyoming and a little bit Air Force. Some of the others, like, say, Hawaii, New Mexico, I don't know if it matters as much there. But there is an underlying tension in those Mountain West first, you know, quote-unquote pack matchups.
Yeah, that's why I thought the season was, like, so exciting, so dramatic because of
Said a lot, I mean, the Mountain West can't openly say it, but you know darn well they want the Mountain West title game this year to be two teams that are staying in the league.
100%. Kevin's going to give us the rundown. We'll look at the other games in the Mountain West Conference. Next year when we do this, we'll look through the Pac-12.
Which is crazy to think. I mean, obviously a year is quite a ways, but it's kind of weird that it's sort of almost here.
It flies by, man. All right, let's take a quick break here, Michael. And we're going to the news. We don't have sports at the bottom of the hour, Mike. No? Yes? Okay. Rams Weekly, it's my bad. That's my one screw up. I'm the JV team now. Rams Weekly continues on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK, just staring at me with those beady little eyes.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Breakfast Club? Is that what that is from, Mike?
Yeah, I think that's what made the song famous.
I like this song. And I like that movie, too. Welcome back to Rams Weekly. Texter from the 970 says, Pac-12, more like Brat Pack. What is the Brat Pack? Because that's what got us going on this. Was that like the 80s stars and stuff? They were the Brat Pack?
Yeah, so some of the stars were in a bunch of those type of movies. And I think those stars were called the Brat Pack.
So
instead of the Rat Pack.
Is the new Pac-12 the Brat Pack?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I'm guessing that
you guys know I'm the wrong person to bring in pop
culture.
You don't.
Yeah, you just watch sports. You don't watch.
I mean, I watch, some
other,
stuff.
And that and Harry Potter.
Like, well, yeah, I do love Harry Potter. We can always talk Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched some shows and movies and whatnot, and I do, but I'm just not a great pop culture guy. Like, every time I'm on the morning show and Terrence is like, ooh, obscure pop culture reference, I'm like, I don't know what this poll question
is,
man.
Friends episode, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what this poll question is, Tanner. Anyway, about the quarterback.
I used to be more into, because I was always a sports guy, but I used to watch a lot of movies, and now it's just like, I sit down and it's like, what game is on?
Things to do.
Or just like, I don't have time to get into a series. What game's on? All right, Kevin, let's roll through this. Got about 3 minutes here. We got the Mountain West slate, and then if we have time, you and I are going to start putting together our power rankings each and every week in the Mountain West Conference. Friday night, the Boise State Broncos are trying to get that bad taste out of their mouth after last week against South Florida. Eastern Washington, no spread on this game. So
Boise by a billion.
Yeah. Saturday, we roll on Wyoming and Northern Iowa, also no spread on this game. Do the Cowboys start 2-0? They have trouble with
not by a billion because they can't score a billion. That Akron game was terrible, frankly.
Yeah, it was a boring game.
Wyoming wins.
Boring game. San Jose State and Texas. Texas is a -36.5.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say San Jose covers because that's a super high spread. I think San Jose is okay.
Yeah.
Although they have bad week one.
I thought San Jose State was going to be good, and then that week
but one still, that's huge spread.
Utah State and Texas A&M, 31.5 point favorite for Texas A&M.
So even I'm going to go against the logic I just used. I'm going to say A&M covers because they had a not great game last week against UTSA.
Yeah, they're going to come out, I think, fired up too. Idaho State, New Mexico, no line
New Mexico played Michigan pretty darn well, so good on them. So yeah, they win. Again, no line. They'll win comfortably. Idaho State's not great.
Fresno State and Oregon State.
That's
on
a good
the
game.
CW Network.
I think Fresno wins, so I'm... Forget the line.
There you go.
Fresno wins.
Nevada, a lot of no spread games. Nevada and Sacramento State, no spread.
Yeah, it's kind
there.
Of a bye game week. Nevada wins an ugly game.
UCLA and UNLV.
This to me is the most fascinating one because UNLV, they're 2-0, but we don't know much about them, I would say, in that 2-0. UCLA looked terrible last week. I'm going to say I don't fully believe in UNLV, but I'm also going to say they win.
All right.
Win the game.
San Diego State, Washington State later on the CW Network. Washington State, a 1.5-point favorite.
They did not look very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say San Diego State wins.
How about Hawaii? I'm kind of high on them, even though I ranked them.
So I know Alejandro, the quarterback, is dealing with a foot injury. It seems very game-time decision-y, so that makes this very hard. But yeah, I think it's really hard. Texas to the island is quite a trip. Hawaii win and cover.
All right, there you go. And then last one, and we'll come back and do our rankings. Colorado State, UNC, kind of the big one there.
Again, no line. I think CSU is going to win quite comfortably. I haven't done my prediction written it yet, but like a 38-7 or 38-10 type deal.
38-10.
I'll call it 38-10.
38-10.
I'll just go there.
All right, 2:50 the time. Let's take a quick break here. Let's go into our Mountain West. A great idea by the dude down the hall.
Yeah, absolutely.
We didn't even think to do it.
No.
But we're going to do it together.
He's our idea man now.
Collectively. The Rams Weekly Power Rankings in the Mountain West. We'll be right back. To Rams Weekly. So our guy, the dude down the hall, is like, dude, I think the people would really like to see a collective Rams Weekly Mountain West rankings from the Kevin Lytle and hashtag Mr. Thursday Night, because it is Thursday, Kevin, as we do this, unless you're listening on podcast, whatever, doesn't make sense to you. But we're going to do this together.
Yeah.
We kind of just busted through this, and let's give it a go. So at number 12, where are we sitting on that? Are we going?
Going reverse.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
We build up?
Yeah.
So we got
build
3 minutes.
Hype.
Let's go. We're going to say Nevada at this point. Okay. They're not that far
from
bad
last season. Now, Grant, you don't learn much from getting killed at Penn State, but they got killed at Penn State.
All right. So we're going Nevada at number 10. And this is hard for me because I was high on San Jose State, but when you get schlacked
this
by that
this will probably
type of
change
team,
pretty quick, but bad week one loss for... Dun, 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 dun. San Jose State.
So they're sitting at number 10. Number 9, we have the friends up north. So,
yeah, we might make some people mad for being this low after a win, but Wyoming, really ugly win against a very, very bad Akron team. Probably one of the worst FBS teams I've ever seen.
That was a very boring
game.
So
good on Wyoming for win.
Good.
Complain about win.
Part of this, too, is going to be like, I might go one way, Kevin might go the other way, and then we're going to meet in the middle at some point.
So
we kind of merge here. And then at number, let's see here, we're at 9, so we're at number 8. We have Utah State.
Utah State.
It's kind of tough.
Yep. You know, they won.
At number...
Not much.
At number 7...
So this one, we gave a riser, I think, to after a loss, which is hard to do, but it was New Mexico at Michigan, and they did some pretty darn good stuff. So New Mexico, we give, not technically a riser, because we've never done this before, but yeah, we'll put them in a decent spot after a loss.
At number 7, we like that. So at number 6, we're going to go with Santiago State.
Yep, again, we just don't know much about them. We'll see.
All right, number 5, top 5 in the Mountain West Conference. I'm high on this team. Maybe I should have been higher. Maybe I shouldn't be. But I like that team that is on an island somewhere.
Yeah, I Hawaii with a really nice week one win, or a 0 week, if you will, against Stanford. Lost Arizona this past week, but that's fine. But yeah, I think they're going to be a bold team. I like their quarterback. Hopefully he's healthy this week.
All right, and number four, is that where we are?
I think so.
Or five or four, I think.
Wherever.
We like the Bulldogs?
Yeah, Fresno State again, another one early season that kind of got rolled at Kansas, but then killed Georgia Southern. So, like, two games that kind of went how you would expect, but, you know, probably given benefit of the doubt a little bit because of their history.
All right, I think I botched one here, but we're in the top four now. So at number four, we both kind of like that team in...
Again, we didn't learn much about them, but Air Force kills Stony Brook. They didn't last year. I think we're giving them a bit of a boost based on history, thinking they won't repeat last year. But yeah, Air Force.
Covered a spread. Top three.
Yep.
We like those Rammies.
CSU.
And number two dropped out of number one.
Boise, benefit of the doubt.
And we're going to give you an LV number one.
Yeah, they're 2-0.
Got to give it to them. But that'll change. All right,
these
there we go.
Change.
The CSU jumping up top three.
Yeah.
How about that? All right, Kevin. Great job as always, my friend. Rams Weekly will return next week. We'll recap a little bit of that UNC game and set the tone for the bye week. Hopefully the Rams don't get hurt. Goodbye, everyone.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.